Hello, boys and girls. Now, don't squeeze your face. Don't act like you've not been addressed that way by your head teacher or principal before. Welcome to another episode of the Desk 360 podcast. I trust you're good. It's March, a new month. And they actually said March is for matching enemies. So if you have enemies to match, I sincerely hope you get to match them and crush them under your feet. So on this episode, I'll be talking about social media and its good, bad, ugly, beautiful sides, and some people's experience, including mine, with all four sides. So first question, how long can you stay without the popular social media apps like Instagram, WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook? Not so long, I guess, right? And I can say it's like that for a lot of people. At least like 70% of millennials and 95% of Gen Z. Yes. Even our parents don't carry last on Facebook and sending WhatsApp. This is like, Agege has turned to a notion of blood. Don't wear red on Thursday. Blah, blah, blah. So I can say it's like the water we drink. So we can't really do without it for so long. Like, without the social media. Think of it, how some people eat. There are a lot of online vendors now, and there are some people who advertise what they do on platforms like Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp. And you as a person would be like, oh, so someone is actually rendering this type of service I've been looking for all this while. Then you just contact the person and the rest is history. You get your service rendered and the person also gets their money. This is not to say that there are some online vendors whose customer relations skills are kind of refrigerated and it's already frozen, so frozen that it's so difficult to use it at all. But then it still really works for some people, for a lot of people actually. And even look at fashion thing. Oh my god, that's one thing that social media has really helped with, instead of being subjected to this catalog that, especially for women, instead of being subjected to this catalog of some people who just went to one bear with different kind of styles, instead of being just limited to that catalog and choosing your styles from there, there are a lot of pictures that people are putting on their social media account that you can just pick, especially on Instagram and Twitter, like, okay, this is what I want. And yes, there are many cases of what I ordered versus what I got, but then it has really helped. A lot of it has helped some people's fashion sense. I think it has helped mine too, because I'm very terrible dresser. I'm very terrible when it comes to fashion and style. But then it's changing me a little. And yes, entertainment. As Nigeria had so, if there is no Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, how will I say? I'm actually asking myself, like, how would I survive? Social media is a great source of entertainment. A great source of entertainment. Like, you just be scrolling on Twitter and someone is dropping one kind of very funny thing. Or even on the comment sections and a lot of things like that. Like, the entertainment is really touching my soul. You get to laugh. Yes, the country is hard and we shall not be crying. So, yeah, social media is hard to, like, it's not making people just plunge into what's it called, Lagos Lagoon, Okupa River, Ele River, and so on and so forth out of frustration. At least you'd be feeling down and you just go on Twitter, go on Instagram, TikTok, and you feel entertained, you'd laugh and stuff. So yes, social media is good for that. Then enlightenment. You can't tell me you are on Twitter, because yes, Twitter is my favorite app. My favorite social media app. You can't tell me you're on Twitter and you're not learning something. No, there are positive things, there are negative things, but Twitter is a whole ass learning platform. Let me do one number for you. I think Twitter is even more valuable than one first and best university. Don't tell anybody. It's just amiable, small amiable. So you learn a lot on Twitter. Like, I think when I got on Twitter, I was not 2019 or something. My eyes just opened. It was as if some scales fell off my eyes. Like I started seeing things in a different way. And sometimes these things you learn actually overwhelm you, but you just have to pick your own valuable thing there and just make do with that and move. Then Pinterest. I, as a person, I can't do without Pinterest for 2 days, maximum of 2 days. No, it's not possible. Pinterest, YouTube, and a lot of other social media apps are responsible or very good for learning. For your eyes to just be opened. Your eyes will be opened. Your eyes will be opened. I'm repeating this because yes, it's one solid fact. You learn a lot. You'll be educated, you'll be enlightened. So yes, there's a lot to learn out there, and this social media apps do that good work of things you can of making you know things you can't learn in the four walls of your classroom. Then information. Trust me, traditional media no fit, especially Nigerian traditional medias, them no fit at all. Because I think those traditional medias are responsible for even misinformation to some point, and that is why we see our parents arguing with us over some kind of fact that you'd be feeling like, but this is what I'm seeing, this is what is happening. But then they don't really, you know, our friends are like so limited to their Facebook, like posting those kind of pictures they post now, those kind of pictures. Then WhatsApp for sharing of BCs. So they are not really active on Twitter and say Instagram, and these platforms are like where things are really going on. So when it comes to information, now, okay, using the 2010-20 case as an example, what happened at Lekki toll gate that time, that day, if the Jesuit hadn't gone live, we wouldn't have known anything. And we actually knew this thing. We saw it with our Korokoro eyes. And the next day, we were hearing different things on traditional media and stuff. So if this social media, if Instagram wasn't there, if Instagram didn't have that feature, then we wouldn't have known what went down that night. So it's very important for information. Like, no. Traditional media no fit. Let me just stop it there. And then social media gives you a platform to express yourself and give you the freedom to do so to some extent. Yes. And it ensures free flow of information too. Yes. Okay, using 2010-20 as a case study again, sorry, as an example again. The protest and everything, including the way the feminist coalition came in and there was donations and stuff, and even the way people gathered in different states and so on, this thing was like very possible because Twitter was there. Twitter was that platform that people used to make people come together to protest and stuff. There were hashtags, and it was really the moving force. Like, people en really engaged on the app. So I feel if Twitter wasn't there, then this thing wouldn't have really, really, really moved. So also is engaging with people and meeting with people that share your ideas, your beliefs, like-minded fellows. Because I'm sure most people you have, like, that you share the same ideas with, they don't reside in your house. I won't lie, they are not many in your family. Am I lying? Except you have like elder siblings, or sorry, older siblings or younger ones that are actually like there. But then, so it gives you the platform to meet and engage with people that you share the same interest. For me, it has really done that for me, because on Twitter I met a lot of writers and stuff, and it has been really good for me because through that I was able to like crack some opportunities that really paid. Things like paid internships and submission to literary journals and stuff. So it really helped me. Then some other interests that I have too that I can't really express myself in my house because most of my folks don't share that belief with me. I was able to like meet with people engage with them, and it helped me to some extent. And you can even get job on Twitter if you not close your mouth. That they said, an open mouth is what I can't remember. I think it's an open mouth is not a wit or something. I can't remember. So you can even get a job on Twitter if your mouth is open enough. So yes, these are the good and beautiful parts of social media, entertainment. You get enlightened, you crack a lot of opportunities, information. You know about London, you know about what's it called? US, the UK, anywhere you want to know, yeah, I know she'll go for me one Yankee, stuff like that. So yeah, these are the good and beautiful parts of social media. Now to the parts that suck, the bad and ugly parts of social media. From my own observation, social media is real, yet it's kind of unreal. Okay, let me start first from oppression. If you don't have firm feet, hey, especially Instagram, you'll be oppressed. Stuff like, oh my God, I just, look, I'm not doing this. Oh my God, I just bought Gucci. I just bought. Forgive me. You'll be oppressed. There are some things that are actually more serious than that that can make you really oppressed, that can tension your soul. Then on Twitter, lot of standards. A lot of standards. See, I can't count the number of times I've logged out of Twitter for maybe like 2 or 3 days. I just need this peace of mind first, because there are some things that'll just shatter your peace of mind, your happiness suddenly. And then there is this feeling that some people are doing better than you are, and it makes you feel kind of down. So I think that's the first part, and I think a lot of people actually experience that with social media. Yes, a lot of people actually experience that. Then the part of people who are suffering from faulty central processing units. Lord God, Savior. Starting from WhatsApp, someone will just message you out of the blues. You don't know that person, and it's like you're pretty sure you've never met that person before. Worse still, you check the groups like you might be in together with that person, and you don't have any group in common. Then you're trying to like ask that, please, how did you get my number? You can't even ask anyhow. How did you get my number? In as much as you're not expecting someone to send you a message or someone to give you a call. And even if you are, you still have to ask, please, who are you? Some people even still go as far as telling you that asking who are you is impolite. Excuse me. It's like you are entering someone's room. Someone who doesn't know you. Someone whom you are sure doesn't know you. You've entered the person's room, and the person is asking, how did you get in? Who are you? And you're like, it doesn't matter. And you sit on the bed, it doesn't matter. I'm sure I hear. What? Have you been slapped before? So if this is actually possible, I would have slapped a lot of people on WhatsApp. I don't understand. That's first. Who are you? Don't worry. I'm sure I'm me. Or my name is. Okay, there was this very annoying thing. There was a time I lost all my contacts, and this person who happened to be a old school, sorry, hey, H factor. Okay, this person who happened to be an old school friend sent me a message. I don't have this person's number again, and I was like, sorry, please, who are you? My name is Susu. And at that time, I knew about four people bearing that name, so I was trying to like be clear that who exactly are you? Who amongst the people bearing these names are you? And this person started doing like, what's this thing called? I can't remember that footballer who is so famous for dribbling. And this guy was dribbling me like, what's all this shit? Then there was this person too who sent me a message. I was like, Aisha. Hello, Aisha. And there's this thing about me. If someone calls me my first name, I enter panic mode. Because I don't know. I don't even know. I don't really know the reason. And second, I feel like since this person knows me very well, because everyone knows me by my middle name, Fonny. So I was like, hello, who are you? I don't think I know you. I don't have this number, and we don't have any group in common. Please, may I know who you are? And this person said, don't worry, I shall know you. You used to live in so-so-so place. This person started giving me my life history. Oh God, I beg. How did I know you? Where? I've never seen you before. This small thing, this guy started sending me pictures. I later got to know this guy is my friend's cousin. He actually took my number from my friend's phone and started sending me all sort of messages. And that thing actually affected me that time because I just felt somehow. And it that resulted to insults. This person started insulting me because I was asking, because I really got angry. Like, who are you? You are giving me history of my life details. You lived in this place, then you went to this place. Your daddy is your ah. It's so creepy and so off. But you tell some people and they will tell you it's impoliteness or something. So I'm so pissed about this thing. So that is one. Then Twitter guy. Twitter people are so weird. At some point, you didn't wonder if it's the same set of people who are on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You won't be wondering if this person you know on Twitter is still the same person you know in real life. Those people are so weird. A lot of people on Twitter have very faulty central processing units. I don't know how that is possible, but somehow it's just possible. Sorry, it's happening. So some people have this habit of sending messages like, okay, asking girls out. I think women should do that thing, but a lot of men do that. You'd ask this person out, and this person would be like, no, I'm not interested. And lots of nasty messages will follow, like, oh girl, how far? And these things actually, speaking from experience, this thing actually it's disturbing and crazy. And in a world where women are not really safe, it scares shit out of you. Like, how come? Hope I'm not in danger. So this person actually narrated a Twitter experience, but it's a lot of nasty thing that I'm even still trying to process, so I'm not I don't think I can read it. And yeah, there was a time one lady on Twitter narrated her experience with a fellow tweet. Both of them are women, both of them are ladies. So this woman narrating her experience, who narrated her experience, actually happened to be a sickle cell patient. And the person she was talking about is an, I don't even know if I should call her an evangelist or a pastor or pastor's advocate. I don't even understand. Okay, so this woman said this lady just laid into her DM daddy and started telling her about how this lady was narrating her experience actually as a long distance of sickle cell, of how she battles with sickle cell anemia on her TL. So this said lady just laid into her DM daddy and started telling her about how the pastor of her church is a miracle worker, miracle healer, erudite, kinikon, and it got to a point where she started forcing this other lady that she asked to attend a church to see her pastor. And this lady was trying to make her understand that, look, I've been to different churches, hospitals, a lot of people who have said, okay, we can cure this thing with medicine, with prayer, with stuff, but nothing is working because it's not logical. For you to change from SS to say AS, for you to change your genotype. So she told this lady she was not interested, and this lady kept hammering her until I think she blocked her or something. Now look at that. That is disturbing for someone who is trying to just move on. Yes, it's not easy to, like, it's not even easy to move on because, yes, you have sickle cell and norms, you'll be having crises every now and then, but this is just trying to be happy. And you are like, is that even godly? That is witchcraft. Okay, so this person told me her experience too, and I think it's long as so I can't read everything, but I'm actually going to summarize. So it seems this lady colored her hair, she dyed her hair red or something, and she was going to church. So she took a picture. And this person replied on Facebook. I don't know. Maybe this person replied, sent her a message on Facebook that she saw that picture and she was going to church, and that kind of dressing, that thing is not godly. Like, she coloring her hair, not covering it, and going to church, it's not godly, blah blah blah. And she started preaching about heaven and some things that are not acceptable for you to do if you want to make heaven. So at the point, this person said, I didn't reply her. But then it started getting too much. So I had to engage her. And later, it the point where the pastor's advocate started saying, I know you are resisting. So, okay, she actually invited her to her church. Like, maybe the church was attending that time is not so good for them to accept her with dyed hair, with dyed uncovered hair on Sunday and stuff like that. So she was like, I quote, I know you are resisting the Holy Spirit, and I've met people like you before, but I promise you, you will fall. I'll keep praying for you. So when I was asking people, actually, asked people to tell me their experiences, the Obasi to show me their experiences with people with faulty CPU and how they handled it. So this person said, I quote, I just sent a model Gujarat meal picture and blocked her immediately. Okay, I guess that is a sentence in one of Obese's gospels. People are not minding their businesses on social media. I don't understand. Like, what is your business? You that you are even preaching, do you know if you'd make heaven? I don't understand. I actually had an experience like that too, like based on my appearance on Facebook, and it wasn't a DM thing actually, it was a comment section thing. So what happened was that I just gingerly changed my profile picture on Facebook after like one, I think a year or two, and I logged out immediately. So I logged in again after 2 or 3 days, and I was going through the comments from people who I used to chat with when I was very active. And this particular comment caught my eyes. I think it was something like, put one ring on your eye now so that you would look more beautiful, please. Imagine. When I said I was shocked, I was like, who be this? So I decided to go through that person's profile, and I just discovered that, okay, this person is one of those religious brothers, and I just let it go. And it was because I had a nose ring on in that picture. And then time I remember that stuff, I'm always laughing, like, really? Really? Okay, so another person said, one guy sent me a message that his friend from Al-Hikma gave him my number when he told him he was looking for a girlfriend. I asked him who the friend was and if he was a babe supplier. He said he won't mention the name, and I replied in key. Then he started to say that his friend had already told him that I am rude and was going to show me Pepe. Hey, voila. So I became afraid and went offline immediately. When I came online the following day, his messages were very many and were full of threats. I was very afraid and I started crying. I told one of my roommates who told me to block him immediately that his threats were empty, which I did, and that was the end. That's been long, Sha. Hey! Wahala. Big wahala. And the funny thing that I observed is that these people that actually say these things to you on social media platforms, when they see you in real life, they can't say such things. Because this actually reminds me of something a particular tip shared one time. She said someone replied to her Instagram story, and she was seeing the notifications. This person started saying stuff like, you're not beautiful, you've been using filter of all this while, you have a terrible body shape, your contents are so bad, because the person is a content creator. And she said by the time she went to check the message on Instagram, the person had already deleted all the messages. And I was like, I've heard similar stories. So it made me conclude at that time that, sorry, it made me conclude that time that definitely if this person sees this girl in real life, he might even ask, he or she might even ask for a picture. Who knows? So another person said, I met the guy through another friend, and after a nice vibing, we shared contacts. Next up in my DM, he was asking for us to meet up at the hotel. I politely told him I was not in for that, but then he insisted and told me he saw my green lights. It sounded barbaric because I was well dressed when we met, and it was an academic related convo we had. I got pissed, insulted him politely, and blocked him. Posted on my status to address the situation, but I was surprised at how people, especially girls, reacted to it. Questions like, are you sure you didn't give him green lights were all around. Well, it didn't matter to me because I had already blocked his ass. I was just surprised as to how humans react to some things. That is one thing. Nigerians love blaming victims. Nigerians love victim blaming, especially if you're a girl. Oh, forget. So, in my own opinion, I think there is really no need to engage people like this, whether they are in your comment section or your DMs. I think the best thing is just to let this stuff slide and use your block button. Whether Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, or stuff, just let it slide or use your block button. And if you have the power of people like Peruzzi, personally, I feel Peruzzi has a gift that should be shared equally amongst other humans. So if you have the power of perusing now that you can just give it to some give somebody short of words and the other person will become short of words, you get the point now. Then you can engage. But then if you really want to protect your peace, just let stuff like that slide and just use your block button and preserve your peace. Nigeria and Buhari are already doing a great job of trying to steal your joy. So don't let them succeed by letting one human with a faulty central processing unit disturb you. So thank you for sticking around till the end. Yeah, this is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. Bye.